time to shoot the breeze with Alex Chelios. How are you today, Alex?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Not bad at all. Enjoying this lovely weather that we've got here, that's for sure.
That's nice.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about some of these great topics you've got. Why Russia, or why does Russia want to be the first country to shoot a movie in space?
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting because it's based on a statement that was recently released by a Russian space agency called Roscosmos, which I think is a really cool name. But basically, Russia wants to be the first country in the world to make a movie in space. Now, the idea behind it is that it will be one of the largest production studios that will actually then be integrated into a flight to the International Space Station, which they're scheduling for around autumn 2021. Mm. And the person, you know, flies, and then they have a backup, and they, you know, the whole point around the film will be to popularize what Russia's doing in space, which is really about glorifying a cosmonaut profession. But, you know, it's also coming off the back of SpaceX doing a similar announcement that Tom Cruise is actually involved in.
Oh, I'm a bit upset. I thought it might have been another sequel to the movie Alien.
Well, it probably will end up like that without anyone meaning to be. Free extras.
Yeah, that's it. Some of those little bugs that just turn up and just, like, eat the whole crew.
You won't have to pay for it.
No. It will be interesting to see what they achieve if they do it, though.
Yeah, so it's really at the moment about who will get there first. Will it be SpaceX with Tom Cruise? Will it be Roscosmos, which is the Russian space agency? Either way, they're both scheduled for a 2021 launch, but I think with what's happening with the pandemic and everything, I mean, these plans are also subject to change.
Well, knowing Tom Cruise, he's pretty dedicated to the craft. He does his own stunts the majority of the time and all that, so he'll probably be trying to get there first.
Yeah, I've never seen any Tom Cruise film other than Minority Report.
Oh, really?
Like, I've never seen the Mission Impossible film.
Mm, okay.
But if he does a film in space, I will watch that.
Yeah, I'd be curious as well. Okay, so this has really upset me, this story. Why you should never use boiling water to make a cup of tea. I drink tea all the time, and I love my hot water.
Yeah, so this is interesting. So basically, it's an expert who is apparently very, very good at creating what they call Yorkshire tea, which is boiling the water and then prepping the mug. And when the water is hot enough, you pour it into your mug and then wait for it to brew and all of that. But apparently that's always been wrong, and that you should actually let your water cool down to around 80 degrees.
Oh, really?
And the reason why is because, A, it makes sure that the water is safer to drink, and that it debunks the myth that boiling water makes tea the best taste. And they said that actually having water too hot kills the desirable nuances in tea, and you're left with a flavour that's not quite what it could have been.
But okay, that's interesting. For me, yeah, you boil the kettle, you make your tea, and then you just let it cool down naturally anyway. But he's saying you don't boil it, you just have a warmer water. Okay.
No, they're saying boil it, but put the tea bag in it straight away.
Oh, is that what they're saying?
Instead of putting the tea bag in there and letting it cool down, which is what you do,
yeah,
you let it cool down and then put the tea bag in there.
Ah, that's too much effort, Alex.
And it's a bit much.
Yeah, I'll still drink my tea the way I've been doing it for the past 48 years.
Well, the funny thing was the expert said that overboiling your water and using the tea bag immediately leaves the taste to be like cabbage water. And I was just thinking, what tea is he drinking?
It must be like the most cheapest brand he could find that's just not made with love.
But do you put your milk in first or you do it second?
I let it all brew with the hot water and then I'll put the milk in, at the end.
Yeah. That's what he said to do. So you're doing that, right?
Well, at least that's one gold star to me, just not two. Okay. Now, this I do find quite interesting. AI has been created that can scan our faces and determine if we are trustworthy or not.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough one because there's a lot of issues around the findings, and there's a lot of research that's looked into artificial intelligence being able to predict criminality in a person by viewing images. This is a very Minority Report type concept, which bothers people when we talk about it. But it's really about the suggestion that a face can become an adequate canvas for social trust. And what is social trust? So an algorithm using an image of a person, being able to determine whether or not that person is trustworthy, is quite a controversial concept. But basically, the AI has been built to look at somebody based on whether they're less trustworthy, which is things like lower inner eyebrows, shallow cheekbones, a thinner chin, deep indentation, And then people who are deemed more trustworthy, they have higher inner eyebrows, pronounced cheekbones, wider chin, so all of those things. But then, of course, we then talk about artificial intelligence being able to construct this concept, but then also how do you then make sure you can understand different differences in faces, so for example, complexion, which becomes a real issue. It also becomes an issue with gender. So, for example, how does gender affect the research? The author of the particular study said that a feminine face is considered more trustworthy than a masculine face. So all of those things combined make it a very difficult concept to take social openness and trustworthy faces based on an algorithm seriously.
And it is a bit of a worry if it gets it wrong and you're told that person's not trustworthy, so you deem them that way, treat them that way, and it could have been wrong.
This is the problem with discrimination, especially when you talk about the complexities of somebody's face. And so you can talk about gender issues, you can talk about, different types of people. If somebody has autism, for example, what happens then? So racial differences as well, having an impact in colour. So all of those things combined can be quite alarming.
And some people are great liars.
Well, yeah, I mean, the idea behind it is that the person doesn't even speak. Mm. The AI determines whether or not you're trustworthy based purely on your image. And then I was thinking, what if somebody's had a lot of Botox?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that deemed you less trustworthy was deep indentations, like the wrinkles between your eyebrows. Mm. I know plenty of women that are, have that banged out by the time they're 60. What happens then? So I don't think the AI, I mean, look, I think it's interesting. I think when you talk about technology like this being applied at a mass level in society, there's a problem. Yep. But it could be an additional tool when you're going through a proceedings, for example.
Yeah, it's interesting, but I'm kind of about it. I'm a bit worried about it. So anyway, we'll see what happens in the future with it.
It's deemed as ethically unsound.
Yeah, that's it. It's all wrong. Sometimes technology is amazing. Other times I think it's a bit of a worry.
Well, I think it's also this concept of we all try to be like every institution, every organisation trying to be the smartest in terms of being innovative, and it's very difficult to be innovative in this climate.
Yeah.
So we almost think less around the ethical ramifications and more around what will wow the audience, even if it's controversial or whether it's shocking.
That makes sense. Well, Alex, how can people find out what you got going on?
Come to thebigsmoke.com.au.
Awesome. Well, PT will be back next week to chat to you, so you take care.
All right. Thank you so much.